85. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 73 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
The Gary Harris Show. You see him host Tider Insider TV. Crimson Tide Kickoff. Play-by-play for Alabama sports and sports director for WVUA 23. It's time for the Gary Harris Show on your home for Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
All right, let's do this. Welcome into the Gary Harris Show for this Wednesday, October 1st, 2025. That's right, another month is here. We're in the final quarter of the year, believe it or not. Just 3 months left, October, November, December. So we're getting ready for the holiday season. Of course, Halloween at the end of the month, then Thanksgiving, then Christmas, and then a new year. Holy cow. It's unbelievable, isn't it? How fast it's going. But we're ready to go, ready to open up the month. It's actually pleasant outside this morning. A little bit of a breeze, a little cloud cover. Now, I'm not very hopeful that there's going to be any rain that we get out of these clouds. But nonetheless, it feels pretty good outside right now. It's been hot, 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 hot. And now that October's here, I sure would like to see some cooler weather. Maybe we'll get some down the pike, but not too bad out there this morning. Welcome into the program. I'm Gary Harris. Chase Brumfield joining me there on the other side of the glass. He is manning the controls and taking your phone calls on the Gary Harris Show hotline at 205-342-9904. That's 205-342-9904. We'd love to hear from you this morning. Got a good show on tap. I'm going to tell you all about it. First, though, I need to tell you, as always, for many years, this hour is brought to you by Alabama Credit Union, a top-rated local credit union with 38 locations across Alabama and one branch in Northwest Florida. We're ready to serve you. Member-owned and not-for-profit, it really is just a better way of banking. Find out more at alabamacu.com. That's alabamacu.com. Alabama Credit Union, loans for real life. Some rules and restrictions do apply. See if you're eligible for membership, then join today and feel good about your money. And put a little extra change in your pocket. All right, we got a jam-packed show today. So we'll get some phone calls here in just a moment. But let me tell you about the lineup. Matt Coulter on NASCAR at 9:30. He narrowly missed another winner over the weekend. He had Bubba Wallace, who it looked like might win that race, and came up a little bit short. At 10 o'clock, Brody Smoot. We tried to get Brody on yesterday. We had a little bit of a misunderstanding or confusion, and but he's going to be with us today at 10 o'clock from Crimson Coverage, talking Bama football and basketball as well as recruiting. And then at 10:30, it's Larry the Music Man, your one-hit wonders. Call in today with your one-hit wonders. He was like asking for like 7 one-hit wonders. But if you can't come up with that many, call in with what you have. I love Larry, and if you can get to 7, but 7's a lot. That's a lot of one-hit wonders to come up with from the 70s. One-hit wonders from the 70s, the bands and the songs, or the artist and the songs. I've got a pretty good list. I love one-hit wonders, but that'll be a lot of fun at 10:30. Of course, news and notes, Alabama and Vanderbilt continue to get ready to play on Saturday. And the last time I checked, that line had gotten down. I'm going to pull it up right now. It's been going down because of the fact that the early money has been coming in on Vanderbilt. I think it opened up at like 12.5. And let's see. It is now down to 10.5. So money coming in on Vanderbilt. But now it's kind of leveled out at 10.5. But Alabama and Vanderbilt, 2:30 on Saturday at Saban Field at Bryant-Denny Stadium on ABC. Big game. Yesterday we heard from Nick Saban talking about that game. He is, of course, going to be here for the College Game Day program, as he's now an ESPN College Game Day analyst. Also, if we have a chance today, we'll get to Clark Lee. The Vanderbilt head coach had his press conference yesterday. We got a pretty jam-packed show, but if we get an opportunity, we'll get to the Vanderbilt head coach, who has obviously done a great job there. All right, it's 9:09 here on the program. Let's go ahead and, oh, and by the way, the University of West Alabama will not play Saturday. They could not find a replacement yet for that game against Lincoln, who can't make it. So they're going to try to get a game for October the 11th, which is their bye week. Of course, that's not going to be easy either, because to get a game and get somebody on October 11th, you got to find somebody else who's got a bye week who's willing to play. Really has left UWA in a spot. But we may try to get their athletics director on, Brett Gilland, here maybe tomorrow to find out what they're going to try to do to work around this. But right now, let's jump out on the Gary Harris Show hotline and welcome in Corey from Trustful. Hey, Corey, good morning.
Good morning, Gary. How you doing this morning?
Doing great.
I just saw something interesting here. D1 Softball put out their all-quarter century team, and Montana Fouts made that list.
She did?
Yeah.
Was she the only Alabama player on there?
Yes.
Because I thought, when did Kelly Kretschmann's career end at Alabama?
I want to say it was the
90s. It might have been. She might have been in the last 25 years. I thought she played into the early 2000s, but I'd be have a hard time finding a list that, 2001 was her last year. So technically she was eligible, but that's okay. We got one on there in Montana Fouts, yeah.
When you're in company with Monica Abbott, Kelly Barnhill, Kat Osterman. I'm just looking at these names here. Jordy Bowles on this list. Carlin Pickens is on this list. Paige Parker. These are pitchers. I'm sorry. That's why she's on this list. These are pitchers here.
Okay.
That's pretty cool. Charlotte Morgan made it as a two-way player. Jackie Trina made it as a two-way player. I guess they haven't put out the rest of the list out yet.
Well, Alabama, if they're doing it by position, Alabama's going to be well represented at several positions. I promise you that. Because in the last 25 years of college softball, Alabama has certainly been a top-tier program. And as we know, has won a national championship, numerous SEC titles, record in regionals and super regionals has been incredible. So, yeah, they're going to be represented on any kind of quarter century team that you have from 2000 to 2025, no doubt.
That's not really the reason why I called, but I just happened to see that. As far as this Vanderbilt game goes, I think it's going to come down to two things. One, setting the edge. We did horrible in the Georgia game, and I kind of think we got away with it in a way as far as in that game. And then two, Vanderbilt wants to control the pace of the game, kind of like what Georgia did. And they had a schedule and used the home crowd to our advantage and convert third downs, because Vanderbilt's the team that wants to slow the game down like they did last year, paper cut you to death, and kind of like what service academies do, and make drive long length of the field and eat up clock. And I think if we can hit them with explosive plays and hit it and use our crowd, I think we should come out victorious, because their defense, just in my opinion, is not the best in the world. They gave up 35 points to Utah State, which, and I know it's just one team, but I just don't look at their defense as strong. We have way more talent than they do. If we can get a big, decent-sized lead and make them get out of their comfort zone, I feel like we can take advantage and turn them over and put them away, because the longer you let Vanderbilt hang around, the more they're going to feel confident and have a chance to pull it out.
Well, there's no doubt about it. I mean, you said a lot there. They're going to try to control the time of possession. They're going to try to, as you said, death by a thousand paper cuts. They want to control it and move the ball down the field and then score and limit your possessions. And they did that last year. I mean, Alabama only had, I think, maybe 17 or 18 minutes of possession time in the game. They dominated that stat. So when you do have the ball on offense, you got to be efficient. And you're going to have to score some points in the game. And I think Alabama will. I think Alabama is going to I think they're going to win this game. And I think they're going to win it. I picked it yesterday. I don't mind telling you. I picked it last night, 38-21. I think that I think Alabama's going to do a good job. I think they'll be ready to play the game. I think you're going to have a good plan. And I think they're going to be impressive on Saturday afternoon.
I wish this was a nighttime game. I mean, not that there's really anything wrong with 2:30, but I feel like the crowd would be more electric if this was a nighttime game.
Well, I like night games at Bryant Denny. I do. That's my preference. But, you know, I'd rather play 2:30 than 11. So at least 2:30, you know, you're going to get in to the evening hours before the game is over. And it'll be a great crowd. 2:30 has been a good time slot for Alabama. So anyway, I think they're going to be ready to go, Corey. But, well, you got a big high school game this week.
Oh, yeah. What do you think?
I think Hewitt can win the game. We're talking about Hewitt and Thompson. I was still surprised that Clay Chalk will beat Thompson again. You know, but like we're talking about, sometimes teams have your number. I mean, we talk about Georgia and Alabama. We talk about, you know, these. It seems like Clay Chalk has Thompson's number, but I feel like Hewitt is just so solid across the board. What do you think?
Well, Thompson's had Hewitt's number. They've won the last seven meetings, but a lot of that's had to do with, in my opinion, Josh Floyd just tightens up, kind of like what Kirby Smart does against Alabama, just gets tight in these games. And but if you look at this game here, Hewitt's defense is elite. They get turnovers. They make a lot of tackles for loss. They don't shoot themselves in the foot. They get sacks. Then offensively, I think we have like a run for over 200 yards a game and pass for maybe 106 yards. Now, the thing is, our original quarterback got hurt the second game of this season, so we don't have our normal passing game. But the second string quarterback, who, believe it or not, he's 15 years old and weighs 160 pounds, is a scrambling quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
The original starter was not a scrambling quarterback. He was more of a traditional pocket passer. Doesn't mean the second string quarterback can't. He can throw it. And I think that's, in my opinion, he's actually a more of what the offense works. Josh Boyd's quarterbacks are more of a dual threat.
Right.
And these, Alvin, I mean, Hewitt's got good running backs. The only thing that concerns me is we've lost two offensive linemen to season-ending injuries, and that does hurt. But I do think that the key is going to be get Trent Seaborn off his platform and make turnovers. And when you do, cash them in.
Right.
But I think it's going to be a great game, electric atmosphere. And I can't wait. But going into Saturday, are there any sneaky good games that we're not talking about that you think that could be interesting? Like for me, I think Texas A&M could be on upset alert.
Yeah, if it were in Starkville, I'd probably agree with you. The fact that it's in College Station, but you're right, that's one. And I tell you, I think Texas and Florida is a sneaky game. I got a feeling the Gators are gonna play well. Now, whether or not they can win the game, you know, we'll find out. But I got a feeling Texas better be on upset alert too going into the Swamp. Hey, got to run, Corey. Thank you. Appreciate you. All right, it is 9:19. Thank you very much. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back and take more phone calls here. And at 9:30, Matt Coulter on NASCAR. This is the Gary Harris Show on Tide 100.9 FM and 1230 AM WTBC, your home for Alabama sports.
What's trending on the Tuscaloosa Thread.
Good Wednesday morning. Retired contractor Greg Barnes won Tuesday's House District 13 special GOP primary election in Walker County. The retired contractor took 69% of the vote. Because no Democrat qualified to run in the heavily Republican district, Barnes will take the District 13 seat in the Alabama House when it begins meeting in January. Click TuscaloosaThread.com for more West Alabama news, sports, and weather all throughout the day. It's free. Don Hartley, Town Square Media, Tuscaloosa.
As much as Innisfree has evolved, it will always be that place to escape and have a good time. Whether it's for a game day weekend, to reminisce on college days, or to create new memories, if you're looking for a good time, there's only one thing to do. Head to the Free at 1925 University Boulevard. And don't forget about the Lucky Lunch Meet and Three.
For you, contact Courtney White at 205-242-5127, NorthRiverTimberCO@gmail.com. North River Timber Company.
You see him on WVUA 23 covering sports and on Tider Insider TV on Tuesday nights. Don't miss a minute of the Gary Harris Show. Weekdays from 9 to 11 on Tide 100.9.
All right, 9:22. Welcome back into the Gary Harris Show. Matt Coulter on NASCAR coming up in the next segment right now. Plenty of phone calls to get to, leading off with Mary in Atlanta, and then we'll get to Philip, and then we'll talk to Bryce. Hey, Mary.
Good morning. How are you?
Doing well. Good morning.
Good morning. I just have one quick thing I wanted to run by. I read an article this morning that kind of sparked my curiosity a little bit. I know that Jamarion Latham is obviously out for the season with that neck injury, mm-hmm. and all of that. Could it be possible, but I'm just asking about what I read, could it be possible that next year he could do like a medical redshirt and come back for another year? Is that possible he could do that?
Yeah, I think anything's possible in this day and age. Now, you know, he's in his sixth year already, so right. he would have to get, you know, a special exemption from the NCAA, but I wouldn't rule anything out. Of course, you know, he has to decide with his family if he wants to come back and play or if he's able to come back and play medically. But I certainly wouldn't rule anything out, not in the modern world of college football.
Yeah. Well, I was just wondering because the way, and I can't remember at this moment who posted that this morning. I think it was somewhere on Facebook. They were saying that, you know, could it's possible that he's medically clear that in a certain time period that he could do that as like a medical redshirt senior or something, because I think he's in his senior year, if I'm not mistaken.
Now, who are you talking about?
Jamarion Latham.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But he's in a sixth year already. I mean, this is his sixth year. He was here in 2020. But I don't rule it out, but I think there's a lot of moving parts there. First of all, can he get cleared medically to come back and play? If he can, does he want to? Will the NCAA clear him? So I think it's a process, and we're just going to have to wait and see. The fact that he cannot come back and play this year tells you that, you know, this is a pretty serious injury. And, and long-term health could be a factor here. I know his dad, Eric, pretty well. I'll check with Eric here soon and find out what he, you know, says and what he tells me, and I'll pass it along.
All right. Well, I'm just wondering because that just kind of sparked some curiosity, and I was just curious. I'm going to try my best to save my voice. Can't wait to listen to the rest of the show, and hope y'all have a great day.
Thank you, Mary. Always a pleasure to hear from you. All right. Let's get to Philip. And then Bryce, like I said, and now Pat's on the line. So we're going to try to squeeze in several phone calls here before we hit the break. Good morning, Philip.
Hey, Gary. I'll hurry up. I was going to ask you if you think there's a chance that Keeley and Mbakwe can get back into the rotation and provide some depth here.
Who was the first one?
Keon Keeley.
Oh, Keeley. Keeley on the defensive line, I would think that this would be an opportunity for him this game. We got the same question on Tider Insider last night. When you look at the fact James Smith's going to miss the first half, Russo's out, Latham's out, even though he plays a down line position, they're a little short in terms of numbers. So I would love to see him get an opportunity. I really would, Philip, but I can't answer that. As far as Mbakwe is concerned, I don't know what's going on there other than he's just, you know, he has not cracked that wide receiver rotation. And I don't know. I don't know what his status is as far as playing time.
Right. I just think there's some, you know, other options for him possibly, you know, other than wide receivers like him play in a Mark Ingram type role. You know, a few years ago when we had Ingram, we'd run the Wildcat. I'm just, he's such a talent, and you and I have talked about him many times. Mm-hmm. And you called Ryan Williams 1A, and you called Mbakwe
1B. I sure did in high school. In high school, that's the way I felt about it. And I knew Mario Craver was good when he was at U of Trustful. I knew he was good. I never dreamed he'd be a bigger star than Mbakwe, but he certainly is. Yeah. And out at A&M and before that at Mississippi State. So I don't know. The fact that he started out at DB at corner, then he moved to wide receiver. Now listen, I still got high hopes for him. It's he's only in his second year of football, but as far as right now with this wide receiving rotation, he just doesn't seem to be a factor.
No, he's sure not. I was just curious about that. And by the same token, opposite that, you got Danny Lewis sort of back in the groove now. Played a lot against Georgia. I was happy for him. I saw Jay Lindsey out there a good bit the other night. Happy for him. And then this Justin Hill kid, the linebacker, played a great game.
He sure did. And they had some guys step up on defense, and they're going to need to continue to do that because it's a long season, and you need depth on the defensive side. But I would love to see Keon Keeley get an opportunity. The guy came out of high school with so much fanfare, and he looks the part when you see him in the uniform. Again, Freddie Roach and that defensive staff, they make the decisions of who's going to play, and I'm sure there's a reason they play the guys they do. But maybe Keon Keeley will get some snaps on Saturday, especially in the first half before James Smith comes back in the second half. Hey, thank you, Phillip.
Appreciate it, yeah.
Appreciate you. All right, let's hit Bryce, and then we'll get to Pat. Hey, Bryce, good morning.
Hey, Gary, first of all, I was going to ask you a question. I'm not trying to make this political or anything. I've been seeing on Facebook about Ty Simpson and Miss Kirk, about how many views they had for their episode. Is that, anymore you can't tell what's true or not true?
Now, tell me, I don't even know what you're talking about. Ty Simpson and who?
Charlie Kirk's wife.
Oh, I didn't know they. I don't know what you're talking about. What did they talk to each other or something?
They said that he was on the first episode and it drew like over a million viewers.
Okay, episode of what? She's got a show.
Yeah, podcast or something.
Okay, I don't know. I'm sorry, I don't know anything about it, Bryce. I really don't.
I was just curious.
Yeah,
because you can't believe anything anymore.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know anything about it. I'd have to. He may very well have been on there. I'm not saying that he wasn't. I just don't know.
Okay.
I don't know anything about it.
We'll move on. The defense. Pavia beat me with his arm, not his leg. Stop the run. Is the key to this game is my opinion.
I think it is.
I don't know if you agree or not.
No, you can't let them control the ball with a running game. If you do that, then he's going to hit some throws. You got to make him. I agree. You got to try to make him force him into be a throwing quarterback. If their running game is working, then they're going to play action off of that. They've got those. Whether you call it a triple option or not, he's got options on every play, and he'll pick you apart. You got to get him into the thing that killed Alabama last year is even when they were third down, they were third and short, and that's why they had such good success. It was third and two or third and three or third and one, and you got to get them into third and six and seven and eight. You got to get them into third and longs, and so the defense is going to have to be better than it was last year, and I think it will be. That's why I'm picking Alabama to win the game 38-21. But you'll have to prove it on Saturday. But you're right, he's a load now, and if you let him get in a rhythm and you let them start running the ball, and they're in second and three, it's going to be a long day. So you're going to have to shut down the run first, though. I agree.
Exactly. That's what I'm thinking. You make him beat you with his arm, not his leg. And first of all, I don't think he should be playing. He got that extra year, but it ain't up to me. I don't make him decisions.
No.
Not the NCAA.
That's right. It's a different world.
And this thing about Hugh Freeze, you remember I told you I'm rooting for him to win eight games, but getting kind of scary now. I don't think they can beat Georgia because Georgia, I don't think, is going to lose another game the rest of the year. I think they're going to. Them and Alabama.
Well, let me tell you something about Auburn right now. Let me tell you this. They got a bye week if they don't fix that offensive line, they might not beat anybody. I mean, they're, I mean, they're just getting blown up on up front on the offensive line, and that quarterback's shell shocked. So they got some issues to fix before they beat anybody. Hey, great call, Bryce. Got to move on. Going to get to. Yes, sir. Got to move on. Got to get to Pat. Hey, good morning, Pat.
Good morning, Gary. Gary, I'm concerned about that shovel pass. Man, that shovel pass spanked us last year. It just got to where it was plumb scary. But you knew it was coming, and it didn't seem like Kane had any kind of clue as to what to do about it. But possibly, I'm hoping that Keon Keeley, just like you're talking earlier, steps up. And because we're going to have to get, I do believe that if we can keep them, where they're having to fight the sticks, you're right. That would be the answer to it, because if he's got a pass, I think we can handle him. But if he's got the option to be able to pick up a yard or two and or pass, that it could make for a long day. But I think you're wrong. Ty's going to need to roll them up. And I'm predicting 56 points for Ty Simpson in the Alabama offense.
Well, that'd be sweet.
If we can do that, hey, it won't matter about defense.
No, if you get to 56 points, you're going to win a game. I tell you that right now. I got him at 38. But anyway, I feel good about the defense in terms of last year for whatever reason. Alabama was not ready to play in the game. And surely to goodness, this year you've learned your lesson. It's a huge game. I think they're going to be ready to play, and I think they're going to get a win. Hey, great to hear from you, Pat. Appreciate you, man.
Go ahead. When Larry the Music Man comes on, Zaire and Evans, the year 25-25, they were number one for a very, very long time, and they were a one-hit wonder.
Well, call back in and talk with Larry.
All right, Pat. Thank you, sir.
All right, 9:34. We got to get to the break. We're going to come back with Matt Coulter on NASCAR next here on the Gary Harris Show.
Flagship home of Alabama sports. We are a championship school, and school is in session.
Makes a catch, makes them bang into each other, stays on his feet, breaks a tackle, scores, scores.
Join us Saturday as the Crimson Tide take on Vanderbilt at Bryant-Denny Stadium. Our coverage begins at 11:30 on your home for Alabama football. Presented by Pearl River Resort,
TCH Regional Medical Center,
Two Dimes Tuscaloosa,
and Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram.
If you haven't already, you've got to try Tuscaloosa's unique breakfast, brunch, and lunch concept. Brick and Spoon, downtown Tuscaloosa, Timberson Square. It's fresh food with a Cajun flair featuring a full bar with build-your-own Bloody Marys and mimosas. Open daily, 7 a.m. until 2 p.m. Available for after-hours event.
Visit meswins.com. I've got this.
No representations made that the quality of legal services to be performed is greater than the quality of legal services performed by other lawyers.
Since 2011, Billy's Sports Grill, located on Main Avenue in historic downtown Northport, has been serving their legendary signature chicken sandwich, award-winning wings, and handcrafted cocktails. Billy's is also the spot to watch all your favorite sporting events with big-screen, high-definition televisions, both dining rooms, at the bar, and outside on the...
Once again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.com/free. Never miss out on great candidates with ZipRecruiter.
For more from Tide 100.9,
let's it fly! And there it's it!
Whoa! Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and SoundCloud.
Welcome back into the Gary Harris Show. It's time for Matt Coulter on NASCAR, and a lot to discuss this morning. Good morning, Matt.
Well, hello, Gary. Hello, Chase. Hello, Tide 100.9. How's everyone?
We are great. And Kansas Speedway, the Hollywood Casino 400, presented by ESPN Bet, And I was betting there for a while that you were going to get your ninth win. It certainly looked like Bubba or his boss, who he drives for, Denny Hamlin, were going to win that race. I guess that shows you how hungry Denny is for a championship. Now he, you know, complained the not having power steering, but he basically took out his driver and give Elliott credit, but Elliott took advantage. But I mean, one of those guys should have won that race. That's just the bottom line. And I don't know who you blame. I have a tendency more to blame Hamlin, because if you are without power steering late, and you're racing that hard against, I know you got to win for yourself and you got to win for Gibbs Racing, but if you're racing that hard against the guy who drives for you, you deserve what you got. And neither one of those guys got a win. How did you see it?
Well, I think if you have a disadvantage, and credit Hamlin for driving without power steering, that's hell. But don't let your disadvantage become a disadvantage for some other driver. And name another mechanical issue that could be a problem if it was going to, you know, mess up the end of the race, which he sure as heck did. You know, back off, especially when you got the car you own between you and the wall. Not for long. He took him into the wall. I fully put this all on the 11. And I was reading an article just a little while ago. He said, well, on Sunday, I raced for me. Well, you know, this is the playoff, Denny. I wonder if the roles were reversed. I bet he would be on top of a box, crowing and whining.
Well, can you? He already was. Here's what makes it so hypocritical. Just the week before, he was blasting Ty Gibbs, his teammate, saying, "Hey, I'm trying to win a championship for your family." And here's Bubba trying to, you know, win a championship for you, and you did the same thing to him. So don't complain about, you know, when you get a teammate that keeps you from winning anymore.
Well, as it went, though, he got up and pushed the 23 into the wall. And, man, here's the ragged glory. Chase Elliott just made a great move, and he dipped down and took it down into the corner and just raced the ball back to the checkered flag. It was a huge win for Chase.
Out of nowhere. Out of nowhere.
Yeah, he was fifth and went to first, where Bubba was first and went to fifth. So, you know, hey, that's NASCAR, and that's the beauty of it. That's the kind of stuff, and even the dust-up between Hamlin and Wallace, that's the kind of stuff NASCAR needs and thrives on, and that was a good place. And now we're going to go to the Roval, oh boy. We'll get into that in a minute.
One more thought on Kansas Speedway. You mentioned Chase, who has had a solid year, and of course now it got a lot better with that win, as he's gonna, you know, he moves in, you know, advances to the next round, but has not been a dominant driver by any means. What could that move, that last lap move and that win, do for him? I guess it could springboard him to a championship, I guess, Matt. Maybe he's, you know, obviously he's a serious, anybody that's got a win in the round of 12 and already guaranteed a spot in the 8, he and Blaney are serious contenders.
Yeah, something just tells me he's not going to win it. I don't know. I still have some thoughts on the 11 finally getting that win. He's certainly not going to let anybody stop him. He'll wreck anybody to get there.
That's clear. That's clear
and
now.
I kind of understand it, but don't more so. But, he's won everything, everywhere. He's still never won a championship. Something tells me last week's winner may end up winning this thing. You and I have always liked Blaney.
Mm-hmm.
He races for a great team. He knows how to get around all the courses, all the tracks that we've got left, because he's won on most of them. So right now, I think I'd have to give him the edge.
Probably so. Like you said, and he's smart, and he knows right now. You could watch the race at Kansas, and he just understands where he's at in the standings right now, and he'll start pushing harder again, I think, once they get into the round of 8. I don't see him as a serious contender for the Roval, because he already knows he's in the round of 8, and I don't think they want to go up there and mess up a car, and I don't think he's great on the Roval. So let's get to the next race. The Charlotte Motor Speedway Road Course, the Bank of America Roval 400. I'm not a big fan of these Rovals, but go ahead and tell us, Matt, how it's going to work, what the setup is like.
Well, they've made a road course out of the Charlotte Motor Speedway, and my question is, let's just race the Charlotte Motor Speedway.
Yeah, me too.
You and I have discussed this over and over, and evidently we're not getting to the top. That's okay. It's still part of the championship playoff run, and I like it when they run just about anywhere. Well, literally anywhere. But they've turned it into a 17-turn, 3.73-mile road course. And they hadn't been running there very long, but Hendrick Motorsports is the grip on that track. I think Kyle Larson leads with two wins there. But keep in mind, they've only been racing there 4 or 5 years.
All right, and you get the first pick. And I got a feeling I know where you're going to go, but let's find out.
Well, I was looking it up last night. I always check the odds because I really wasn't thinking about SVG.
Yeah, you were.
Yeah, well, you know, until I look at the odds, and he is such an odds-on favorite, I'd be an idiot to pick anybody.
Well, I mean, let's be honest.
He's won them all, and yeah. You and I have picked four races with him as the favorite, and he's won all four of them. So I think I'd be kind of dumb, although, you know, you go back. This is kind of special, though. You go back and you look at the number of non-playoff drivers that win races. It's not very many. And he hadn't been racing well at all lately. But still, it's a road course. It's SVG. He wins all of them. So I'd be kind of an idiot not to pick him, even though I really don't think he's going to win. But not picking him would be foolish.
Yeah, well, I've got a driver. I'm going to go with a driver who's below the cut line right now, but certainly if he wins, it would springboard him into the round eight. And I think he's going to have a strong car and a strong setup and knows how to, you know, drive a Roval. I'm going to go with Tyler Reddick.
That's a good pick. I think my other pick might have been Christopher Bell, because he's a good road course
mm-hmm,
driver.
Mm-hmm.
But and I'm glad you mentioned Tyler Reddick, because I know you've read about it too. But prayers go out to him and his wife. They're 4-year-old, 4-month-olds in Children's Hospital, I just read about those and you see pictures of him.
Yeah, I hope everything's gonna be good, because I mean that could impact him driving on Sunday.
You know, it would be. You know, I don't think you can be a father and not have that affect you. And then let me back up a little. You don't have to be a father to understand that.
Mm-hmm.
You can have nieces and nephews, and you understand that. And the whole world kind of stops. You try and block it out of your mind. But as far as will it affect his run, probably not. But it'll be on his mind. That's for dang
sure. Yeah, well, I'm going to, you know, if he may be extra motivated because of that, yeah. So I'm going to...
You know, it could work that way, too.
But I still want to get back to last week, because, I mean, you pulled that, you know, not a rabbit out of your hat, but I thought picking Bubba was, you know, was going out on a limb, and you should have been rewarded. He probably should have won that race, and that would have been your ninth win.
And I was really pulling for him, because I've been fortunate to get lucky on a few races this year. But I really thought that one out, and I thought I had it, and I thought, you know, this is going to – I got too far. I put my Toyota in front of my Chevrolet, but I was thinking, man, this could be one of the best picks I've ever made. But no, then comes Hamlin. He messes everything up. And, you know, we've had it happen to us. Didn't you have it happen to you, to Blaney, earlier this year, where he just looks like he's going to dust the field, and then suddenly they do something like run out of gas, or they hit the wall, or somebody hits them. This is truly our picks, and picking NASCAR, you could never count your chickens until the flag waves, you know?
Well, this is the last race before the cut down to eight, so let's look at the standings, Matt. And the four drivers that are set to be eliminated if they don't do something special are Ross Chastain, Bubba Wallace, Tyler Reddick, and Austin Cindric. Joey Logano's last inside the cut line at number eight, so obviously things could change. But because of that, you're going to have some hard, even though it's a Roval, you're going to have some hard racing going on, because if you're, you know, if you're on the cut line or below the cut line, and this is your last chance to move into that round of eight, I think we'll see some guys getting after it, don't you?
Absolutely. And you can really get after it when you're swapping paint through 17 turns. So, and tempers will flare, and tempers will flare just because it's a road course in Charlotte and all that, but more so from what you just mentioned. And that's the fact that, man, this is the last of this. You've got to score here or you don't go to the round of eight. That's pretty big, and it's going to get pretty crazy. And then, you know, you got guys like Shane Van Gisbergen who's just going to try and win it because they're the best road course driver out there. But you got other X factors, and I immediately think of the 77, Carson Hocevar, because, you know, he was trying to get too much out of his car late at Kansas, and he spun out. So there are a lot of wild cards, including the guys that are running for the playoffs.
All right, Matt, before we let you go, it's been announced that Ryan Snitker will not return as manager of the Atlanta Braves in 2026. He will stay with the organization in some type of senior advisor role, but an era comes to an end. The Atlanta Braves won two World Series, have won two World Series in their history since moving over from Milwaukee in 1966, and he won one of them. So yeah. Regardless of what kind of manager you think he was, he made some history there. So it'll be a new era for the Atlanta Braves. Your thoughts on Snitker hanging it up?
Well, that's news to me. Did that happen overnight? Or
no, this morning it was announced. The Braves announced it this morning. So,
all right, I missed that, but I didn't miss the fact that our government now has officially shut down. So there's some more news.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, that happened about 2 minutes before we got on the air. I love Snit. I wish he was hanging around. Did he give details as to, was it his decision or?
It sounds like in the little release that I read on social media that was put out that was his decision. Now they might have met and said, hey, this might be best for everybody. He informed the team of his decision yesterday. This is from Jeff Passan, but he will remain with the organization in a senior advisory capacity. So it sounds like that. You know, and then the Braves put out the thank you post, but it sounds like he could have come back if he'd wanted to. So,
well, I wish he had, because if you think he's not a good manager, just look what he did the last 6 weeks of the season with all these new players coming in, getting through injuries, and then having his rookies, except for Blake Baldwin, suddenly come White and the other guy who's left fielder. Shortstop, they just kind of fell apart, and he still managed that team and played really well down the stretch. So, and then what they did with Charlie Morton was really, really cool.
Yeah, it was cool.
That's the Braves that I really love, and Snit was a part of that. I hate seeing him go.
All right, Matt, great segment, man. Appreciate you.
All right, as always, thanks. See y'all Saturday.
Okay, 9:51 here on the Gary Harris Show. We got time to squeeze in a few more phone calls in this next segment. 205-342-9904 is the number on the Gary Harris Show hotline. We appreciate the calls. Brody Smoot talking Bama football and basketball coming up at the top of the hour. But we'll be right back. Before we hit the break, I need to remind you that the T-Town Menswear T-Town Gallery $99 suit sale continues. And also, there are Bama football trivia giveaway sponsor, and we'll be back at Innisfree on Friday to give away another great item from T-Town Menswear and T-Town Gallery in the University Mall, home of the $99 suit sale. We'll be back.
Crimson Tide, sold in stadium and at bars, restaurants, and stores near you. Must be 21. Please drink responsibly.
Life doesn't wait for when your finances are in perfect order. It just happens. But no matter what surprises come your way, Alabama Credit Union will be here to help make it affordable with great personal loans, mortgages, and auto loans. They offer an easy application process and fast decisions so you can stay focused on feeling good about whatever life brings your way. Alabama Credit Union will be here to help make it affordable with great personal loans, mortgages.
The game, the Tide Postgame Show is powered by Pearl River Resort, DCH Regional Medical Center, Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram, and Two Dimes.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Another very warm day today. The sky partly to mostly sunny. A small chance of a shower this afternoon or this evening. The high today 88, the low tonight 63. Tomorrow and Friday, sunny both days. Highs between 82 and 85. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 75 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
You're listening to The Gary Harris Show. Streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
All right, 9:55 here on the Gary Harris Show. Let's close out this first hour on the Gary Harris Show hotline with Ragged Glory. Hey, Ragged Glory.
Hey. Good morning, you guys. Gutsy calls on this Roval coming up. And you know what? I feel an upset in the making. You know what? We've got a few drivers that can handle road courses. And of course, you know, I'm riding the Elliott chain.
Sure.
But yeah, I just don't think SBG can do it this time.
I hope he can't. So, I hope Tyler Reddick can do it.
Well, I know you are, but you know me and rice burners, okay? In NASCAR. So it's going to be, I just feel that, man, Hendrick might do it. Because you got Chase, you got Larson. Those are the two that I would be looking at.
Yeah.
You know, I think there's a wind coming.
I think Larson is definitely one to watch here. I thought about him, but I picked him last week, and he didn't come through for me. So.
Yeah, well, you know what? Like I said, this is a toss-up, but, yeah, I just don't think SVG is going to do it. You can't go out perfect. No way. Everybody's got to have a loss somewhere.
Well, maybe this, like you said, this will be his time not to win on this type of course, and that's what I'm hoping for sure. So you calling back in on Larry the Music Man segment with your one-hit wonders?
No. I got 20, and I got to start scratching a few off.
Get them down to 7. All right, Rag Glory, we'll talk to you in a little bit.
You got it.
All right, thank you. All right, that's going to wrap it up for hour number one of the Gary Harris Show. It's been brought to you by Alabama Credit Union, member-owned and not-for-profit. It's just a better way of banking. Busy hour number two. We're going to start it off with Brody Smoot talking about Bama football, basketball, and recruiting. And then as we've talked about at 10:30, your top one-hit wonders from the 70s. If you got the song and the artist, that would be even better. But if you just have the song or, you know, and you can't come up with 7, call in with what you have. And I've already gotten a few texts from people who are, this will be fun. One-hit wonders are fun. I've certainly got a list. Now, sometimes I'll mess up, and I'll think that was a one-hit wonder, and then I'll find out, well, no, they actually had some more hits. Or that artist had some more hits. So sometimes one-hit wonders, you know them for that one song, but they actually were on the charts more than once. So have to watch that a little bit. But we'll have some fun with that coming up at 10:30. Also, try to work in some more phone calls. And I'm going to still see if we can get to a little bit of Clark Lee audio from his press conference yesterday up in Nashville, the Vanderbilt head coach. Another hour of the Gary Harris.
Section today and get up to 30% off. That's leaffilter.com/country for up to 30% off. Leaffilter.com/country. See representative for warranty details.
From the Fox Sports studios in Los Angeles. Here's Steve DeSager.
The Dodgers won their wild card opener in L.A. over the Reds 10-5, hitting 5 home runs, 2 from Shohei Ohtani, including one leading off the game. Teoscar Hernandez with 2 round trippers. Blake Snell got the win for L.A., 7 innings of work, 9 strikeouts. The Cubs took game one of their best of 3, 3-1 over San Diego. The Cubbies hit back-to-back homers in the 5th. Boston beat the Yankees in New York 3-1. The Red Sox took the lead in the 7th on a 2-run pinch single. Garrett Crochet, the winning pitcher, struck out 11 in his 7 2/3 innings. Detroit's Tarek Skubal got the win at Cleveland 2-1 with 14 strikeouts in 7 2/3. Detroit scored 2 unearned runs. Angels manager Ron Washington will not return next season. Cardinals manager Ole Marmol will return. And the WNBA semifinals ended with Las Vegas getting a Game 5 win in overtime against Indiana.
It's time to win some cash on Tide 100.9 and 1230 WTBC. W265CG Tuscaloosa. Here's this hour's cash code.
The code is 669. That's 669. The code again is 669.
Enter that code on the Tide 100.9 app for your chance to win $1,000. Two special winners will win $10,000. The Gary Harris Show. You see him host Tide or Insider TV, Crimson Tide Kickoff, play-by-play for Alabama sports, and sports director for WVUA 23. It's time for the Gary Harris Show on your home for Alabama sports, Tide 100.9, and streaming on the Tide 100.9.
Harris Show, hour number two of the program, and we're ready to rock and roll. And we're going to start it off with Brody Smoot from Crimson Coverage talking some Bama football and basketball this morning. Good morning, Brody. How are you?
I'm doing well, Gary.
Good to have you. First, though, I know you're a Georgia boy, Alabama grad, but from Georgia. And your reaction to Brian Snitker deciding not to return for the Atlanta Braves as manager in 2026?
You know, I really like Brian Snitker, and, you know, he's a guy that's been in the clubhouse for quite a while, you know, but, you know, the way that the Braves have been trending, you know, I think it was probably in the franchise's best interest and, you know, in his best interest to, you know, have this be his last year. But, you know, he did some good things, you know, obviously winning the World Series and, you know, just him being in the clubhouse so long, he's very well respected. But, you know, ultimately, I think it was the right decision for both parties.
It feels like it. He's going to stay in the organization as a senior advisor after over 50 years of service. So, yeah, probably a good time for new leadership as far as in the dugout for the Atlanta Braves in 2026 with a new manager. All right, let's get to Bama football. Your impressions and reactions to what you saw Saturday night in Athens with Alabama beating Georgia 24-21.
Well, you know, I just think that Alabama, you know, from start to finish, you know, they were very resilient. You know, they came to make a statement. I mean, you could tell that, you know, obviously the offense came out hot, and then, you know, it was the offense the first half, and then the second half it was defensive. So, you know, they just looked focused. It just looked like a different team. They looked energized. You know, they were various different players having to step up in certain roles, and there just didn't seem to be like a big drop-off or anything. You know, obviously having Jam Miller and Tim Kennon back was pretty vital, I believe. You know, especially Jam in the backfield. He had several big plays. But, you know, overall, you know, I think it was a solid performance and a great stepping stone for the future for Alabama for sure. You know, it's only going to get more difficult from here. That was a very good Georgia team, but, you know, with the injuries piling up like we've seen, you know, with Rasul and several other people getting dinged up and trying to come back, get back to full strength, it's going to be difficult. And you know, I think this is something that this team's ready to take on with a full head of steam. But, you know, getting a win on the road against a very good Georgia team that came off, you know, a huge win against Tennessee 2 weeks ago, that's definitely a good sign for things to come in Tuscaloosa, I believe.
You know, the key now is, and we've seen this before last year, although obviously the Georgia game last year was at home and Alabama then traveled to Nashville, but they got caught, if it appeared, unprepared and ready to go for that game. No excuses this year, Brody. You're at home. You know now what Vanderbilt's all about. You know Diego Pavia is an absolute stud, and he, you know, he talked before the game last year, during the game, and after the game. They laid one on you. They stormed the field on you. They carried the goalpost down Broadway in Nashville, and just, you know, milked that for everything that it was worth. Now you're facing a team that's 5-0. That can run the football. They're balanced on offense, nearly 500 total yards a game, averaging close to 50 points a game. I mean, game day's here. There's no reason for Alabama to not be prepared and ready to go and dialed in just like they were when they went to Athens. I mean, you agree with that? I mean, there's no excuses. This is a huge football game.
I totally agree. You know, like you're saying, you know, last year you come off a huge win and you basically go lay an egg in Nashville, you know, and Diego Pavia is a great player. And, you know, oftentimes he's able to back up his you know, comments towards these different programs. And, you know, for him to call out Alabama, you know, that's just something that doesn't happen. A lot of people don't do that. And for him to be able to back it up is one thing that's different you know, the last time a Vanderbilt player called out Alabama prior to Pavia didn't end up well, you know. But, you know, obviously this game being in Tuscaloosa, You know, Alabama coming off another win against Georgia, just similar to last year. This Vandy team is much improved from a season ago. You know, I even think Pavi is better, like you mentioned, you know, averaging 50 points a game. They're undefeated. You know, it's a different atmosphere this year, you know, and a different it's definitely going to be different from it than it was from a season ago, because I do think that Alabama sees that 5-0, you know, beside Vanderbilt's name, that ranking, and you also know that they can beat you, you know, like they did last year. So I think that this team's going to be this year's Alabama team's going to be dialed in, you know, at least that's the hope there. But like you said, this is a good Vanderbilt team. You know, one that's balanced on offense and better on defense, you know, and they picked up several key wins. So it's something that you definitely, you're not going to be able to tread lightly, you know, against Vanderbilt and Clark Lee, because they got some good players and they'll make you pay for sure.
When you were studying this Alabama football team and, you know, getting ready for the season and going through the roster, how did you think Ty Simpson would play? Did you think he would be this good? Did you think that maybe, did you wonder maybe even if he would hold on to the job? And what were your impressions of Ty Simpson going in, and what are they now after you've seen him in four games?
You know, ultimately, you know, I thought that Ty Simpson, you know, back in the spring, you know, I thought it was a competition between him and Keelon Russell. But, you know, as the offseason, you know, moved forward, you know, obviously it became him and Austin Mack, or that was the reports at least. But, you know, just from my standpoint, I thought that Ty Simpson would ultimately end up being the guy. I knew he would start the season. You know, I knew that he would get the nod, but I didn't know if he would be able to sustain the starting quarterback position. And, you know, that's something that he's, you know, obviously proven that he can do, you know, especially thus far. But the way that I view Ty is, you know, he's a little bit more than a game manager, in my opinion. You know, I think he has a lot of similar tools and traits to Mac Jones, that formerly played at Alabama. I think they have a very similar skill set, a nice supporting cast around them at the skilled positions, a pretty strong offensive line unit, especially in you know, in pass protection. And so I think that he just, you know, coming in, I thought that he would just have to limit his turnovers, play within himself, and not do anything uncharacteristic. And you know, he's definitely put that on display the last 3 weeks. And, you know, even through the first four games, Gary, he hasn't turned the ball over. So, you know, a lot of times when you don't turn the ball over, especially if you're Alabama, you usually end up getting a win. And that's something that I think Ty's done very well. And he's proven that he's a leader. You know, you see that video of him in the locker room, you know, during the game, you know, and I just think that Ty's, you know, he's getting better and getting more comfortable and acclimated. And that's something that I was kind of, I wouldn't say concerned about, but kind of leery about, you know, especially heading into SEC play, you know, how he would perform, because the SEC is a different animal. And he was up for the challenge, Gary. So, you know, been very impressed with Ty, and, you know, not necessarily surprised, but, you know, I was just, you know, I didn't know what to expect. And now that you see what he did against Georgia, you know, it's very, I'm very hopeful for the future.
Speaking of the future, 8 games to go, a lot of 7 of them are SEC games. I mean, so it's, listen, the tale of the season is still going to be told. But what are your impressions of this Alabama team to this point? And do you think this is a team that can do something special? I mean, I'm talking about just try to maybe slide into the playoff with 2 or 3 losses, but maybe could run the table, get to Atlanta, win an SEC championship, win a national championship. What are your expectations now for this Alabama football team that you've seen through the first 4 games?
You know, it was definitely different in week one than it was, obviously, after this past weekend against Georgia, for sure. You know, after week one, you're thinking, you know, Alabama might lose three or four the way we looked. And then after this weekend, you know, you're kind of like, okay, well, you know, what version are we going to get? It's similar. It's kind of similar to last year. You know, if this version of Alabama shows up week in and week out, they're able to stay healthy. You know, I truly do think that this team could run the table. The talent's on there's talent there. You know, and I think there's the right coaching staff in place. And you know, I think that each of them will get more acclimated. I definitely think that Ryan Grubbs and a improvement. He's definitely a better option as an offensive play caller than Nick Sheridan was last year, in my opinion. You know, he's more innovative and finds ways to get more players involved. But, you know, just from an outlook, you know, on the rest of the season, I definitely think that it's doable that Alabama runs the table, even though it is the SEC. First and foremost, I think you have to stay healthy.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a key component. And then I also think that Ty, he has to continue to get better, which is going to be difficult to do because last week he played really well. He's just going to have to continue to get better. And you know, that offensive line's going to have to be able to – we're going to have to be able to run the football. You know, if Alabama's unable to run the football, I don't foresee an 11-1 season. But, you know, if they are able to figure things out up front, you know, able to run block and get some yardage on the ground and become more balanced, you know, I think that the sky's the limit for this Alabama football team for sure.
How do you see Saturday afternoon playing out?
You know, I think it's going to be a good game. You know, I think that Alabama, you know, they're going to score some points. I think it's going to be I think it's probably going to be pretty high scoring, you know, honestly, Gary, you know, because Vanderbilt is going to find ways to put points on the board, I believe, you know, with the way that they are balanced last year because the way that they are balanced this year because last year, you know, they were predominantly a run team. And this year they're more balanced. They got weapons, you know, on the perimeter. Obviously running back, and then you got a running quarterback in Diego Pavia. So I think that could give our defense some trouble, you know, but ultimately I think our offense will be able to put up some points. You know, I think Alabama will probably pull it off, you know, win by 14, 17 points somewhere in that area, you know, and it'll be a huge win for us.
All right, let's get to recruiting. 2027 cycle well underway, and Alabama picked up a commitment earlier this week from a big in-state offensive lineman.
Yes, sir, Jatori Williams. You got a 2027, like you said, interior offensive lineman out of Central Phoenix City up there in Phoenix City, Alabama. You know, in recent years, Alabama has had – you know, a history with recruiting players from that area, Isaiah Fonga, Red Morgan, and Mal Waldrop. But Jatori Williams is another guy that's very highly ranked from the 2027 class. Definitely believe that he's going to be an interior offensive lineman despite already being 6'5", 320. You know, that's a huge commitment, you know, that Alabama was able to land there. He was actually in attendance for the Alabama-Georgia game and ultimately decided to commit to Alabama. You know, and one thing that he told me that he notes that led to him actually committing to Alabama was, you know, just his relationships with the coaching staff. And, you know, he told me it felt like home. And, you know, obviously, you know, having several people from his hometown, his school, go to Alabama and have success, you know, I'm sure that definitely didn't hurt Alabama's chances there, but a huge commitment, you know, and Alabama now has three commitments in the 2027 class, and two of them are already top 100, you know, recruits. So definitely huge to get another in-state guy and Jatori Williams there.
All right, Brody Smoot with us from Crimson Coverage. Find out more at Brody Smoot on X or at Crimson Coverage on X. All right, let's get to basketball. Your thoughts on this upcoming season for the Alabama Crimson Tide?
You know, it's definitely, going to be a little bit different. Obviously not having Mark Sears and Grant Nelson and some of the pillars of this program the past few seasons, it's going to look a little bit different. But I think that the way Coach Oates and the rest of the Alabama coaching staff have been able to recruit, I think that this team's going to be a great shooting team, from everything that I've heard. I think it will be an improved defensive squad. Bethea, him being out to start the season, that's kind of going to probably hurt Alabama in a few different ways to start the season because, he was anticipated to be, in the lineup or at least getting, meaningful minutes there. But I think that Alabama's backcourt's really good. There's a lot of depth there that can make up for Bethea's absence, through the first few months. Obviously having Phylon and Holloway return is huge. And then I think that Millett will take on an increased role. He's a great shooter, providing depth. And then, you got Davion Hanna and Latrell Wrightsell, obviously, his leadership and his tenacity on the defensive end is going to be something that Alabama, will really try to take advantage of. And then, obviously bringing in Taylor Bowles-Bowen, having Aiden Sherrill back and adding Noah Williamson, I think there's depth in the front court as well. I think this team's, there's a lot of players that can play positionless basketball, and virtually everybody on the team can shoot from anywhere on the floor. So, I think Alabama's going to be difficult to defend. I think that, honestly, this is Coach Oates is one of his most well-rounded rosters, that he's had in Tuscaloosa. And, I expect this team to be fully equipped to make a run at the national title again, make a Final Four run here.
Recruiting wise, it just seems to be more of the same. I remember when Oates got here, and Alabama, Avery had recruited pretty well, and Alabama certainly through the years has had a lot of high profile recruits, but never this type of consistent. This is a lot like Nick Saban. I mean, you just expect Nate Oates to reel in some of the top players in the country, and for Alabama to have top rated classes, and they're well on their way to doing that again, right?
Yes, sir, they definitely are. Like you said, in the past, even with Coach Johnson and even dating back to Mark Godfrey, you had coaches that players that they got that were very highly ranked and panned out, but it was once in a blue moon, it seemed like back then, as opposed to now, it seems like every recruit that Alabama's getting is either a 4 or 5 star. In top 100, and this class is going to be no different, Gary. You already got 2 top 100 guys and Christopher Washington Jr. and Taurus Bowie. And then obviously, just seeing what this coaching staff's been able to do, the kids that they have been able to bring in for visits, doesn't look like they're anywhere close to being finished. You got a good chance at landing Caleb Holt, an Alabama kid. He's right there. In the top 5 in the country, ranked as a 5-star. And then him and Dylan Mingo, definitely think it's going to be difficult to get Mingo as opposed to Holt, with Holt having ties to Alabama and growing up in Alabama. He's actually pretty close with Alabama linebacker commit Xavier Griffin. They grew up together and their families are close, so that could play a role there. And I know that Alabama's been recruiting him for quite a while. Jace Richardson's brother, Jackson Richardson, 4-star out of Miami. Alabama's been really high on him for quite a while, dating back to when they were recruiting his brother 2 or 3 years ago. And then, you got the Ratliff twins, and they have ties to Alabama with their father, Theo, being from Demopolis. Both of them came in for a visit. I'm not sure where Alabama stands in terms of their recruitment, but I have to think that Alabama has a good chance. Just looking at some of these schools that they're entertaining and visiting there, Alabama's one of the bigger schools in their recruitment, and they got the first official visit from both of them. And then this past weekend, Brandon McCoy, he's the big fish in the pond, so to speak. You know, he's right there at the top, just like Caleb Holt, top two or three recruit in the country. You know, I think that Alabama has a chance there. So this coaching staff's just done a tremendous job thus far, and I don't expect things to slow up moving forward. I think that they'll end up with four or five recruits in this class, and you know, you're looking at a top two or three class for Alabama in this cycle, Gary.
Awesome stuff. Brody, tell everybody where they can find Crimson Coverage.
You can find me on X at Crimson Coverage. Find us on YouTube at Crimson Coverage, as well as Facebook. And then my personal account, as Gary said, on X is at Brody Smoot.
Thanks, buddy.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
All right, 10:23. Lunch is right around the corner. And I'm telling you right now, Decades Pub and Grub, I got to get Chase over there, man. I went yesterday for lunch, and I got that double smash burger. Man, it was good, dude. Woo, man, they got some good food over there. All that boar's head meat and cheeses. Excellent, excellent. And as I said before, great atmosphere at night, too. They've got two separate bars. On one side, all your music and your music videos, and on the other side, all your sports. It's like two bars in one. If you have not tried Decades Pub and Grub downtown Timberson Square, you need to change that. Start with lunch, go back and have dinner, enjoy the nightlife down there at Timberson Square at Decades Pub and Grub. All right, we're going to come back with a short segment, and then we'll get ready for Larry the Music Man. This is the Gary Harris Show on Tide 100.9 FM and 1230 AM WTBC, your home for Alabama sports.
Time news update from the Tuscaloosa Thread Newsroom.
Here are the TuscaloosaThread.com headlines brought to you by Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. With drought spreading, the Alabama Forestry Commission has issued a statewide fire danger advisory. 9 wildfires are currently burning across west and central Alabama this morning. The man wounded at the UAR Berea Monday has died. 41-year-old John Michelle Bates has been arrested as the suspected shooter. Guns and Ammo will retain its business license after a hearing and City Council vote last night. Retired business owner Michael Ledbetter, who now works at the store, defended owner Josh Wakefield.
That man's a stickler for the fine details of what we're supposed to do.
TPD claims Wakefield bought and sold stolen guns. Fall is here, so let Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram put you in a new Ram truck, Dodge Charger, or a Jeep. Shop the dealership where former Bama quarterback Jalen
opening a primetime Mets clinic October 2nd from 4:30 to 7:30 p.m. at 4804 Highway 69 in Northport. PrimetimeMetsClinic.com.
Los Tarascos has been serving Mexican favorites like burritos, fajitas, and quesadillas since 1999. Their new location is at 4100 Owen Parkway in Northport. And, of course, you can find Los Tarascos in Tuscaloosa at 110 Skyland Boulevard. The bar areas feature big-screen television so you can enjoy your favorite sporting events. Los Tarascos features daily happy hour specials. And for the best Mexican cuisine in West Alabama, remember, the name is Los Tarascos, with locations in Tuscaloosa and Northport.
Follow Tide 100.9 on Facebook today to watch our live shows. Leave the great articles and interact with Bama fans today.
We're going to squeeze in a phone call here with CeCe. Good morning, CeCe.
Well, how are you today, Gary?
Very well, thank you.
Well, just some thoughts on this upcoming game.
Okay.
One thing, I hate for game day to come. I don't know about you, but
well, it's not been a good metric for Alabama. They've probably
lost
more on game day percentage-wise than whether it's home game, away game, night game. Game day has been tricky. I agree with you.
Yes, I think it gets in the player's head, the fan's head, that, okay, this is big game. They're here. A lot of extra stuff going on. So I start with, I hate that. Also, some of my worries. What I thought was going to be a strength, which is linebacker, suddenly we're very, very thin and getting thinner, which, you know, as a result of the transfer portal, when you lose that third, fourth, fifth guy that you were going to run in, mm-hmm. and now he's playing for your opponent. We knew defensive line was thin. Lace Keenan is back. But James Smith going to miss, the first half of the game. Also, we need some solid DB play this week. Damani Jackson could be a great player, but he seems to take a play or two off every now and then. And we know Pavia is going to go downfield, whether it's with his legs or with his arm. So all of those are worries for me this coming week. But for the fans, I think we need to bring it. I think we need to be up yelling. I don't know how often Vandy has played under such circumstance, but they've got so much to lose. No, normally, they're just glad to stay in the game. Mm-hmm. But this is different. You know, they have got a real stake in this now. It's possible, they have a big bowl in front of them that they've never had before. So I think we've got to do our part. And we have to stay involved the whole time. So anyway, I'm anxious to see, just how emotional we'll be coming off last week and being patted on our back all week long. What's going to happen now? So I think it's going to be up to us in the stands to, pick them up, keep them going. And we will see. Also, one more thing before I leave. I am very worried about place kicking. If it comes down to winning by a field goal, that is really a toss of the coin, isn't it?
Well, I'm going to play the other side and say up until that one attempt, they had been really solid with the place kicking. So maybe that was an anomaly, an outlier. But I'm with you on the fans. The fans have to understand this is a big game. You have to treat this just like you would Tennessee or LSU or Auburn, because it deserves that type of respect. And the team will need it, because Vanderbilt, you're right, they're coming in here with bad intentions. Now, I agree with you. They're not used to this type of environment in terms of this type of spotlight on them. We'll pressure. See how they handle that and that type of pressure. You're right, they're playing for a lot too. Yeah. But the fans need to understand what's at stake here. And I think they will, and I certainly think the team will learn its lesson from last year. And if you don't, shame on you, because you should be ready to play exactly. This game. Yes, ma'am.
I plan to be there early and be loud. And I hope to see a lot of students there. When I walk in the gate, I want all the students already in their seat or get in line to get in their seat. So we need to bring it. And let's see exactly what Pavia is made out of.
Yeah, let's test him. Let's put him to the test on Saturday. Hey, thank you, Cece.
Have a good day, Gary.
Appreciate you. Great call. Absolutely great points. Well thought out. And she's right, I think, in everything that she said. From the players to the coaches to the fans. This is a big game, and you have to treat it that way. All right, we're going to come back with Larry the Music Man. It's 1970s One Hit Wonders. Next.
Treatment options at up to 95% less than brand names at hims.com/radio. That's hims.com/radio. hims.com/RADIO.
Covering University of Alabama sports, as well as the national and local scene as well. The Gary Harris Show, only on Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
That funky music, certainly one of the great one-hit wonders of the 1970s, and a song that has stood the test of time. You can't go to a bar that plays music, certainly if it's a dance type of club, and not hear that song. And it's a generational gap song. It doesn't matter if you're in your 20s or in your 70s, man. That's one that hits home. All right, it's time for Larry the Music Man segment. We're talking about your top one-hit wonders from the 1970s. Call in with them. Use the app, whatever means you need to get through. Larry, good morning.
Gary, good morning. You took the words out of my mouth. I cut many nights with that song. Woo!
Yeah.
You talking about. And you know, you said seven possibly would be hard for folks to understand, but immediately I had 25 that I actually played during the 70s in the clubs.
Yeah.
The 70s was very gracious for music, especially if you're a band.
Well, yeah, if you can come up with seven, by all means. I was able to come up, but I was just saying, if you can't, don't, you know, go ahead and call in with what you have, is all I guess that I'm saying. So
yeah, exactly. And I do have some call messages, some call-ins that can't call in. Some messages, we'll get to that before we get started.
Well, let's go and start taking the calls because they're lined up, and Pat is first up. Let's go ahead and punch Pat through. All right, Pat, good morning. You're on with Larry the Music Man.
Good morning, Larry. Man, it's good to talk to you. And
Pat, this is my pleasure. That was a cherry you picked because my band learned that song, one of the band along many others, with many others. That was a good song. People really responded that in the clubs for some reason. I guess it had a message to it too, so very good pick.
Zaire and Evans in the year 25-25, they stayed number one for a very, very long time, and they stayed in the top 25 or so, or top 40 for a very long time. And I would think that even in the early 70s, if you were working as a DJ, that was a very much still requested song, even in the early 70s through 75.
Well, and, sir, that's how we judged our set list, was by the airplay, of course, being a hit. People, that's what they wanted to hear, and if you could do that, then you stayed busy. So, good pick.
That's right.
Good pick.
They were very special. Other than that they were a little bit folksy, I can't understand why. Of course, let's talk about John just a minute before I go. That Fogerty was, I've seen John in concert, five times here in the last, since he started back to playing his music, especially since he started back to recording his songs with his two sons.
Finally. I was so glad that happened.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Being able to buy his catalog back, I was so happy for him because there's so
Pat, his
many,
son
many.
Is quite gifted too, his son. They do some good guitar work together.
Their guitar work is absolutely spectacular.
Man. I listen to you on your football. You're really dialed in. It seems like you're dialed in on the music. Please call back.
Yes, sir. And I appreciate you taking my call there to do it. He's my next door neighbor, and I think he's becoming cerebral. That what he did against Georgia was absolutely phenomenal. He knew it looked like he knew what Kirby was going to do, before Kirby thought about doing it.
That is true.
Special. And if he stays playing at this rate, there won't be any choice about it. That he'll leave next year for the NFL. But playing like this, I don't know that I'll put my. I think I'd want to have him back another year. I'm greedy.
That'd be nice.
Hey, y'all have a special day, sir. Thank you for taking
Thank you,
time.
Pat. Appreciate you. All right, next through, punch John T. through. Chase, hey, John T., you're on with Larry the Music Man. One hit wonder time from the 70s.
Hey, guys, what's happening?
Now, John T.,
I really enjoyed this challenge about the 70s because you got a whole lot of stuff morphing into one. You got your last years of the hippie music of the 60s, anti-war, and then some disco mixed in, and you had the creation of some more heavy metal stuff. Rock
sure
and roll.
Sure did, brother. That was a good point. The late 60s carried right into the 70s. Yep.
That's right. So this is what I come up with. I had to look up the names of the bands. I was just thinking about songs. And the first one that came to mind was One Choke Over the Line.
Oh, my God. Brewer Shipley. Yep.
That's it.
Brewer and Tiffin.
And I had to throw one in just for grins and giggles, just because I enjoyed the Carol Burnett show. Vicki Lawrence doing The Night the Lights Went Out in Georgia.
Well, you own a page of Robbie Glenn. That was one of his.
Well, that was just, you know, because I love that show. And
me too. Still watch the reruns.
That's right. But I had to weed out a lot of the disco because I really didn't really. My mind started putting me into the rock and roll era because I enjoyed the late 60s of Jimi Hendrix and, you know, the Rolling Stones and the Doors and stuff like that. So I kept it along that line, but I did throw in one kind of off the wall. That'd be White Chocolate's "Sex You Sexy Thing."
Hot Chocolate.
That's right.
Yep.
Yep. That was a good one.
You just jogged my memory on that. That was a good song. The guy had a unique voice too. He's very hard.
Yeah. It was cool. I got it on my playlist, you know. But getting back in with my heavy metal or metal, you know, the beginning of rock and roll, had to do some Mississippi Queen with Mountain. You know,
that's a one-hit wonder. They were a big band. That's what I said. You can like Free, All Right Now. They went on to be Bad Company, but that was their only hit for Free. You know, All Right Now. So yeah.
Now I didn't know good that was part of the band Mountain became Bad Company.
No, Free. The band
Free led to Bad Company, John T.
Yeah.
I got you.
Yeah. All right. Now.
All right, John T. Great stuff, man. We got to get some more callers in. Appreciate you very, very much.
Thank you, brother.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's get to Roland in Gunnersville. Then we'll take a break. Then we'll come back with more calls and more one-hit wonders for Larry the Music Man. Punch Roland through there, Chase. Hey, Roland, you're on with Larry the Music Man.
Hey, good to talk to both of you guys. I was a big 60s and 70s music guy, and I enjoyed the, you know, the group bands and all that. I grew up with the Beatles and the Grassroots and all that, but some of the songs I remember that I really liked, and of course you had I think the biggest one was A Wild Cherry, you know, play of funky music. And I've made the comment several times that I'm shocked them guys didn't go on to do bigger things. But that was a great song.
Me too,
but,
brother. They really were good. But
some of the other songs I kind of remember and really liked was Love Grows Where My Rosemary Goes by Edison Lighthouse.
Oh, wow.
And Love Hurts by Nazareth.
Ooh.
And Precious and Few by Climax. And Oh Babe, What Would You Say by Hurricane Smith. And, of course, Magic by Pilot. And Ride Captain Ride by Blue Image, that's a good one. And Emotion by Samantha Sang. There's a lot of one-hit wonders that were really good songs. And, you know, Vehicle by Eyes of March. I bet you remember a Vehicle by Eyes of March.
You better believe.
Good song.
Yeah. I'm your vehicle. But that was a good in there. You got some good choices there, man.
But Spirit of the Sky by Norman Greenbaum, that's a big one, too.
That's a huge one.
I think it's about time I was graduating. Yeah, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But yeah, there's a lot of great songs and everything, and the music just today just ain't what it was in the 60s and 70s.
Has anybody said Brandy by Looking Glass? Has that one come up?
That's on my list, Gary.
Okay. Yeah, that's
I bet you're going to play that at break, too, aren't
no,
you?
No, I'm not going to play that one.
I left that up to you.
I probably would have played it, but since we got that request, I got one I'm going to play. Hey, great stuff, okay. Rowan. Appreciate you. I got to hit the break, man, and come back with some more phone calls, but thank you very much. Great stuff. And we're going to get to some more calls, and we're going to get to some people that have sent in some songs. We'll be right back with Larry the Music Man right after this.
Coming up on The Game with Ryan Fowler. Coming up on the Wednesday edition of the game, we're going to talk to Aaron Torres, Fox Sports National Analyst. We'll talk to Alex Scarborough, Bama 247 Sports. And we will continue with a Southern Ale House score prediction day, Alabama Vanderbilt, all starting at 2 p.m. here on the game with Ryan Fowler on Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, your home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports.
The longest running sports program.
They're brought to you by Fincher and Osmond. Fincher and Osmond carries artisan-created diamonds. And trust us, they are bigger than you expect. Visit www.fincherandosmond.com.
As much as Innisfree has evolved, it will always be that place to escape and have a good time. Whether it's for a game day weekend, to reminisce on college days, or to create new memories, if you're looking for a good time, there's only one thing to do. Head to the Free at 1925 University Boulevard. And don't forget about the Lucky Lunch Meet and Three special Monday.
The Tide Post Game Show is powered by Pearl River Resort, DCH Regional Medical Center, Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram, and Two Dimes.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Another very warm day today. The sky partly to mostly sunny. A small chance of a shower this afternoon or this evening. The high today 88, the low tonight 63. Tomorrow and Friday, sunny both days. Highs between 82 and 85. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 78 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Find Tide on Twitter at Tide109 to keep up with show announcements, guests, and our reporters in the field.
You said some things. You've been miracles.
All right, 10:50, and we've got about 7 minutes left. I have to clear something up, though, because Bryce called in earlier about it, and I've gotten an app message from Mike in Deetsville. Eric Kirk and Ty Simpson had over a million views. This is leading some to ask if Simpson is the next Charlie Kirk. It was on my Facebook. It's my understanding it was on Facebook. Well, that is a clickbait post. Just so I can clear this up, because Charlie Kirk obviously passed away. Erica Kirk, his widow. One of these sites, clickbait sites, put out something about Ty Simpson and being on her show again. That is not accurate, okay? I'm not saying that he won't be at some point in time, but Ty Simpson's preparing to play a football game against Vanderbilt, okay? So just so we can clear that up before it gets any more traction. Just because you read it on Facebook does not make it true, okay? So be very careful about these sites. They're trying to get you to click on, and they put stuff out that generates interest, but Ty Simpson has not been on any show with Erica Kirk. All right, I want to clear that up. All right, let's get back to Larry the Music Man and JJ in Northport. Go ahead and punch him through. Hey, JJ, you're on with Larry the Music Man.
Good afternoon. Well, actually, good morning still. How are you guys doing?
Great.
Good morning, brother.
Red on Love.
There you go, golden earring.
Go there, excellent. And then two more that got in my brain was Ring My Bell, because in the 70s, I was down at the disco. that was by Anita Ward. Mm-hmm. And then Don't Give Up On Us, Baby, by David Gates and Bread. Now, David Gates and Bread went on to be bigger hits, but that was their 70s one-hit wonder that I remember.
All right. Yeah, they did. They went on, though, to have a bunch. But, yeah, that was a great song. Any more, JJ?
That's pretty much all I've got right now.
All right, man. Well, appreciate you. That's some good stuff. Hey, let me get to, before we get to Ragged Glory to close it out, unless we get another call, let me say I got sent a couple as well. And this is a great song, and George sent it in, Tainted Love by Soft Cell. Well, that actually was 1981. The interesting thing about Tainted Love, and Larry will probably know this, was it was a remake. It actually came out in the early 60s by an artist named Gloria Jones. What's noteworthy about that is that Glenn Campbell played lead guitar on that song, the original Tainted Love. Did you know that, Larry?
I did.
Yeah, well, I figured
a lot of people don't know that. You can't tell nobody in the 80s that came out.
But it did. And so that's an interesting tidbit. Larry, you said you had some people that had texted in. Go ahead and pass along those other ones that you have.
All right, I got Thomas from Reno. Good to hear from him. Got Beach Baby, First Class, First Class Emotion, Samantha Sane. Afternoon Delight, Starland Vocal Band, Don't Give Up On Us. Now, he's saying Dave was sold. He may be right on that. I think he is. Shannon, Henry Gross, Ride Captain Ride, Blues Image, Brandy, Looking Glass, Robbie Glenn, My Sharona, Vicki Lawrence again, The Nights Without Georgia, Kung Fu Fighting, Seasons in the Sun, very unique. Seasons in the Sun, Terry Jacks, Loving You, Minnie Riperton, Anita Ward, there you go again, Ring My Bell, and Afternoon Delight, Starland Vocal
That's
Band.
A good
That's
one.
Been a popular one, Gary.
Yeah, has anybody said Ram Jam by Black Betty by Ram
that's
Jam?
That's on my list. That's on my list.
And another one that's probably on your list is King Harvest. Great song, Dancing in the Moonlight.
How did you know? That is my second. Dancing in the Moonlight, one of the best songs ever. I played as a cover band. I enjoyed playing that song, man.
Well, you better give us the rest of your list before I steal them all.
Stuck in the Middle, Steeler's Wheel, mm-hmm. Dancing in the Moonlight, Brandy, Afternoon Delight, Mungo Jerry in the Summertime, one of the biggest hits of the 70s, Black Betty, Ram Jam, and Free, all right now.
All right, let's get to Ragged Glory to close out the segment. Hey, Ragged Glory.
Hey, okay, 3 minutes. The fastest 3 minute in songs? Here we go. Load up your jukebox. And I'm dedicating this to Chase. Chase, here comes your jukebox. It's a Wurlitzer. Venus, Shocking Blue, Hitchin' a Ride, Vanity Fair, Jeans On, David Dundee, Beautiful Sunday, Daniel Boone, Sweet City Woman, Stan Peters, Rock and Roll Parts 1 and 2, Gary Glitter, Son of My Father, Giorgio, let's go to some instrumentals. Popcorn, Hot Butter, Joy, Apollo 100, Also Sprock, Zarathustra, Diodato, A Fifth of Beethoven, Walter Murphy, Frankenstein, the Edgar Winter Group. Let's go, Troglodyte, Big Bertha, Bertha Butt.
Got him,
Jimmy, yeah. Jimmy Castor Bunch. Rick Derringer, Rock and Roll.
Hoochie Coo.
Yep. Let's see. We got Gary Wright, Love is Alive. We got Yes, Roundabout, Emerson, Lake and Palmer, Lucky Man. And I totally forgot about Wild Cherry. You guys were playing. The list can go on and on.
Those are obsolete good ones, man. Let me tell both y'all something. Did y'all, we played this song. Do you remember Ray Stevens? Did In the Mood, the Hen House song?
Oh, yeah.
Gary, my band, the house band, Hartsville, would play that song. I had the three guys would sing it, and people would go crazy.
Wow, yeah. Yeah, you don't know.
I would laugh so hard, I couldn't hardly.
Oh, he was funny. And another one that's gotten missed because, Larry, you'll won't miss it. And Rag Glory, you'll remember this one, too. And I know they had a couple other songs that were minor hits, but it was recorded right there at the famed Studio One in Doraville, was Moonlight Feels Right by Starbuck. Interesting thing there, guys. They recorded that song, and it didn't go anywhere. And they sent it out to a bunch of radio stations that said they would play it, and they never did. But WERC in Birmingham said it sounded like a spring song for them, so they were going to hold it until the spring, which they did. They started playing it, and it became a big hit. It is a great song.
Hey, that was on my honorable mention. I told that story way back. I met them in my hometown. They were kin to one of my school buddies, and he called me over there. They were on the way to Florida and just had that out. They said, we got a hit here, and I jammed with them. They were cool. They were on one of them was on the Mickey Mouse Club. He danced.
I'll be dog.
If
yeah,
you remember, they did the dance routine. Yeah, it was wild, man.
That is a great references Ole Miss in that song, too.
that was a beat song yeah. for fraternity. You can see yeah. these kids on break, yeah. spring break.
Oh, wow, great stuff. Well, guys, we're out of time, but, man, another awesome segment, and appreciate you, Larry. Appreciate you, Ragged Glory.
Gary, thank you.
Absolutely.
Thank you, everybody, for calling.
A lot of fun. We're going to wrap up the show. We've got the Miller's Edge coming up next. Catch me on TV tonight with your local sports on WVUA 23 and back here tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. for the Gary Harris Show. For Chase Brunfeld, I'm Gary Harris. Have a great day. Did you know?